Welcome back into the program on this first day of college football season. No, there are no games today, but we finally get to open up game week, and that we are going to do today. And David Sears joins me, as he will every single week during the college football season. Became a co-host last year and has carried over to this year, and we're so happy to have him on every week. David, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, Jacob. How are you?
I'm really well, and I'm finally excited. You know, it's like it's like having a sickness for a while and finally getting a cure, a prescription to cure it. Been a long time with no football, and glad to get it back.
Exactly. We got a little taste this past weekend with all the ESPN high school showcase games, and now we're getting into the big stuff. College football kicking off on Thursday. You got Wisconsin, UNLV, Mississippi State, Memphis, Western Kentucky, Kentucky. How in the world did Kentucky get to go to Western Kentucky? That's an interesting little job of scheduling right there.
That one and Mississippi State during the middle of the year is going to play at UAB. I'm really not sure who scheduled that game, but that's a head scratcher.
Well, you got to remember, Mississippi State has played at UAB before. Back in 2006, State came to Birmingham to play UAB at Legion Field. I think it was part of like 4-for-2 or something along those lines, where they got UAB four times at home and they had to come to Birmingham twice. They'll still outdraw UAB, no doubt about it.
Well, I mean, it's just strange. Mississippi State, they're up and coming. They had a great season last year, beat Michigan by 100 points in that Gator Bowl, and here we go this year going to UAB.
Well, they're at Memphis as well, so they're at two USA schools, so they're non-conference games, which is interesting.
Well, what is your feeling as we go into this first week? There aren't any challenging games. Nine SEC teams play games that really aren't considered challenges, in my opinion. But there are three games, much of challenge. I mean, you could argue Memphis is a challenge to Mississippi State or whatever. But three games, of course: LSU, Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, and Ole Miss, Brigham Young, that are going to be big time games. So, what is your feeling as we go into this week? What the main storylines will be?
The main storyline to me is definitely going to be, how does LSU react to having Russell Shepard suspended and having Jordan Jefferson not as a starting QB? Can Jarrett Lee, the interception machine, put together another good enough performance to hold his defense, or to hold his offense together and allow his defense to win the game for him? Will we see Mettenberg come in there and possibly steal the starting job away from Jarrett Lee? It's going to be interesting. The LSU game, I think, is the most interesting. Number two, Rick has the two toughest games of the season starting off. How will he handle the pressure? How will the team handle the pressure? How can Georgia function well without a proven running back in the backfield? Will Isaiah Crowell live up to the hype? We've seen freshman running backs come in and have impacts, like Trent Richardson, like Michael Dyer. So maybe he'll be that spark they need on offense and be able to carry the load. But going from a full-time starter in high school to a full-time starter in college are two different things. Mm-hmm. Number three, I think we want to see how will Alabama decide their quarterback situation. Phillip Sims and A.J. McCarron, both very even in their games so far in their scrimmages. So I'm interested to see if they do the every two series they rotate in a new quarterback, or if they're going to let one play one quarter, one play the other quarter, and then mix it both in the third, see what happens. Because let's face it, if Alabama can't handle, if Alabama's not well ahead at the half, then they're going to have some serious offensive issues this year.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Nick Saban spoke today in Tuscaloosa with his opening game week press conference, and he said that, he released the depth chart, and on the top of the depth chart at quarterback was co-first team between Phillip Sims and A.J. McCarron, which nobody really expected anything different. And he also said whoever trots out there to begin the game is not necessarily the starter. Although, you know, Alabama fans are going to get in one camp or the other, immediately, and that, you know, it's going to be, it's, it may be become a battle to see who.
Well, remember that was Jeff Puritan's depth chart. That's not really Nick's depth chart.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
little funny moment there during the press conference, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. They both have high expectations coming out of high school. AJ McCarron, we saw a little bit during last year. He was thrown into the fire with his last drive against Auburn, which he, I think, went 1 for 4 for 8 yards. He just wasn't ready for the moment and kind of got wide-eyed and sadly coughed. Well, that wasn't the big cause, but he wasn't able to lead Alabama on a comeback.
Right.
Phillip Sims was redshirted last year. Definitely think he has potential to be a great starter for Alabama. I think you've got two very strong candidates at the one. I don't think this debate will be settled this week. I don't think it will be settled next week. I don't think it's actually going to be settled until the Arkansas game.
Really?
I think we're going to see Dwayne QBs till then, but I could be wrong. I'm only an analyst.
Well, I understand, and that's all we can do. Right now, Nick Saban's keeping a lot of things under tight wraps, so we can't really make – we can just go on what we know, and that is pretty much just a guess. But I think it'll also be an indication if that Penn State game becomes close in the second half. If Alabama, you know, there's a field goal or two, it's a tight slugfest in the second half. Who is under center or in the shotgun taking those snaps for Alabama? I think that'll be a big indication because that'll reveal who Jim McElwain and Nick Saban trust back there.
It's definitely going to be interesting with that. I mean, Penn State, Alabama should be able to beat. I don't think it'll be as close as everyone is guessing, but if it does come down to a, hey, Alabama needs a game-winning drive, I'd probably lean heavily towards McCarron getting the crucial drive, but I don't think Saban's ready to name a starter just yet.
We led the show off about LSU and Oregon, and Joe Shad indicated today on his Twitter that it looks like there's a chance that Jordan Jefferson, a good chance, that he will not see the field again this year. Big blow to LSU. I think it's a big loss because I think he was really going to be the player this year, the leader of that LSU offense. What do you think LSU does, and do you think they have enough to beat Oregon now that he's gone, for this game at least?
I think it may actually be addition by subtraction. Everyone was saying, well, look at what Jason Campbell did his senior year when he got Borges coming in and was able to straighten him out. Jason Campbell has a decent head on his shoulders. We're seeing more and more now with what happened with Jordan Jefferson. He did not have a good head on his shoulders. He was not mature enough to handle the role. He was obviously not mature enough to represent his team, and he obviously didn't care enough about his team to not break curfew and to not get in a fight. So I don't think he would have been as good a leader. I think he would have been troubling as he has been the previous 3 years. I think Lee has potential to be there. I really think Mettenberg will be the starter by the end of the Oregon game. I really think Mettenberg will come in and give them what they need on offense. It'll be very interesting to see how their offense reacts. They don't really have as great a backfield as they did last year, running back talent-wise.
They really don't.
They have quality recruits, which if you have quality recruits, you always have a good base because, let's face it, this is part of the reason why Alabama was so successful, why Florida was successful under Tebow. They had a lot of great talent around Tebow. Last year was kind of a rough patch because they just didn't know how to use the talent they had, and they were trying to run the Tebow offense with someone that wasn't Tebow, so that will not work. But I think LSU has a lot of talent there, and whether or not it gels and comes together the way they need it to, that's a whole other story. But the talent is there. The coaching, let's face it, Les Miles just has a deal with the devil. So you never know. If it comes down to a close situation, I'm always going to go LSU. He'll eat that artificial turf, probably a couple of rubber pellets, and what do you know, he'll find a way to beat Oregon, who I think is now a 3.5-point favorite last time I saw.
Okay.
So,
well, that's news to me. I haven't seen the latest line on that game, but I wouldn't be surprised with all the turmoil.
It was off the board, but I think they put it back on the board, and I think Oregon's a slight favorite now. Could be wrong, but
it's
definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt, and I think it's neat too, seeing LSU play back-to-back games in Arlington, that new stadium out there, which is beautiful and very watchable on TV. I like watching games a whole lot there. Friendly to the eye. Okay, we move over to the other part of the country here on the East Coast, and Atlanta, and I'm air quotes for everybody out there, neutral site game between the Boise State Broncos and the Georgia Bulldogs. This is really do or die for Mark Richt this year. How big is this game against the number 5, number 6, depending on what poll you look at, team in the nation?
This is probably Mark Richt's career right here. At Georgia, he has to win at least one of these first two games, if not both. If he plays Boise State close and loses on a last second field goal or a last second TD drive, he'll be under some pressure, but not as much as if he gets embarrassed by Boise State, who last year was able to come back in a tight game and a neutral site at FedEx Field against Virginia Tech. So they're used to having neutral site games that favor the other team. I don't think we will see Georgia win this game. I know they've got their special Nike Pro Combat unis, and they've got that silver streak down the helmet instead of that white streak. But last time Georgia used a special uniform was against Florida in 2009 when they beat the black helmet and black pants and had the road look that, and they got destroyed.
Worked
the
really well.
The year before that, they had the blackout against Bama, and Bama just obliterated them. So these special uniform tricks have not worked out well for Richt in the past. He's a great man. He's a great guy, but I think his time at Georgia is done, and we're going to see the beginning of the Kirby Smart era come December at Georgia.
Major prediction there from Sears early on that Kirby Smart will be the defensive coordinator at Alabama, will be the heir apparent to Mark Richt. That'll be interesting. We'll see. Also, another game with interest in the SEC and a big game. I put this on my game of three big games of the weekend. Ole Miss against BYU. I mean, Houston Nutt, it was a disaster last year, and a lot of people think it's going to be a disaster again this year. And the BYU team recently went independent. A lot of things riding for them. Bronco Mendenhall has done a terrific job with that program since he's been there. How big is this game for Houston?
Houston is a very difficult person to figure out. He tends to do very well when he has no expectations, and when he has expectations, he tends to choke.
Yep.
So you got to figure this year everyone was predicting them to do horrendous. So you have to automatically say, you know what, they're probably going to be an SEC West title contender. Just by going Houston Nutt's previous path. But realistically, I think they've got a good 7-5, 8-4 team there. They have some decent things, but I'm not sold on Randall Mackey being their quarterback.
Because he's been suspended, hadn't he?
But yeah, that's right. He got in the fight. So now they're down to their backup quarterback. So you got to favor BYU. BYU has a bunch of talent coming back. I forget the name of their quarterback. This is his third year starting.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll definitely be better prepared. They've played some rough games. They've got, I think, Texas after BYU or after Ole Miss. So they're playing some decent competition. But I think we're going to see a couple of the coaches leave the SEC this year. Houston, that's definitely going to be one. Mark Richt's definitely going to be one. And depending on how things go in LSU, we may see less miles to park for Big 12 country again.
That would be very interesting, and that's quite an interesting point that you have just brought up. Less miles being courted by Big 12, and yeah, with all the Texas A&M SEC rumors, who knows how that's going to end up out there. Auburn, they are of course the defending national champions. They're coming into this game Gene Chizik has already been talking up Utah State. Yes, I did just say talking up Utah State. I believe the Auburn Tigers are a 22-point favorite over Utah State, which is down from 32 earlier. This game continues to get closer, it looks like. But, and I know Chizik is basically just preparing everybody that Auburn may not be as sharp. Okay, they will not be as sharp as they were last year. There's no question about that coming out in the first game. But Utah State's not a pushover either.
Utah State is a pretty decent team. I mean, we're going to see some interesting formations from Auburn. They go with Barrett Trotter at quarterback, definitely going to use him. Michael Dyer has had some injury issues this preseason. He's been nicked up. But all in all, they've got a lot of young talent on defense. They've got some good recruits there. That defense is probably going to take a couple of games playing against non-Auburn competition. I mean, scrimmaging is one thing. They're going against a team where you don't know what play they're going to be running, and you don't get a chance to redo something if you screw up against that play. So it'll be interesting. Utah State's from the WAC. They were, I guess, a middle-tier team in the WAC, so yeah. They're not exactly world beaters, but ask Alabama about Louisiana Monroe and UCF. Anything is possible. Auburn does not want to get off to a rough start defending their national championship by losing to Utah State at home on ESPN, so it's going to be a national... Is it ESPN or ESPN2?
I believe it's ESPN.
They don't want to lose on a nationally televised game. So
I'm sorry. It is ESPN2. I see it now. ESPN2, not ESPN. At 11 o'clock.
You don't want to lose on a nationally televised game on ESPN2.
Right.
Auburn. You have to understand Chizik's mindset. He's not the greatest coach. He has a great staff around him, which I think allows him to do well. But I think Malzahn's going to have a lot of pressure on him this year. From what I understand, though, Trotter is a very Manning-esque type quarterback. He's not going to beat you with his legs, but he'll beat you with his mind. Mm-hmm. He's very intense, very focused, very well-versed in the offense. So I think he'll do well. I do believe that we'll see Auburn prevail over Utah State, but I don't think they'll score as many points as they did last year.
And finally, Sears, I've been highly interested in Thursday night games every year because it seems – that's the first we get of college football, and it's always you want to get your fill early. But this year, the lineup is pretty weak. I mean, you have Fordham in Connecticut, Montana State in Utah, UNLV at Wisconsin is the ESPN game, and like you mentioned earlier, Mississippi State, Memphis, Kentucky, and Western Kentucky. I mean, is there a game that you're even interested in seeing on Thursday night this year?
Well, Wisconsin, UNLV, Justice. See how Russell Wilson fits in with the Wisconsin offense. We've heard a lot about him. He was highly sought after by Auburn and by Wisconsin. He ended up choosing Wisconsin out of the minor leagues. He has potential there. Wisconsin's a dark horse pick by many to win the national title. They're one of the favorites to win the Big Ten, along with Nebraska. So it'll be very fun to see how they do. UNLV has a nice little offense. They surprised a couple of people last year with tough games in the Mountain West Conference. So we should see a good game for a half, and then Wisconsin should wear them down in Madison. But I'm just interested to see how Russell Wilson does in his debut for a big-time college team. Because let's face it, playing ACC football in Raleigh is nothing like playing in Madison. So it'll probably be one of the biggest crowds he's ever played in front of. I'd like to see what Russell Wilson is made of.
It'll be fun indeed, and that will be good. David Sears on this Monday, as we get college football, our first program technically of college football season. Sears is kind enough to be with us. He is now the host of the now help me out with these names on Friday nights.
It is the Jack's Friday Night Scoreboard or Jack's Friday Night Football Show on Friday night on WJLX, and then it is the Alabama post game show on WJLX following the Alabama Crimson Tide Sports Network broadcast I don't know the official title of it yet.
Okay.
I don't know our official sponsor yet, but it'll be myself and Kelly Kitchens on Saturday after all Alabama games, except for this Saturday. I'm missing due to a wedding in South Carolina, but I'll be with you for all the Bama games, hopefully through a trip to New Orleans for a national championship
game. Wow.
I think Alabama has potential to do that, but they've got a rough October, and that November 5th game looms largely. Then again, LSU could have completely imploded by then, so we'll see. But that October stretch for Alabama, you take away Vanderbilt, that's pretty. 3 out of 4 games are pretty difficult.
It is, and again, David, well, if you're in Birmingham during either on a Friday night, want to listen to some great radio, you can do that. Listen to him then, or you can listen to him Saturdays after the games, except for this week, of course, on WJOX, Big Time Sports Station in Birmingham. And, of course, he will be contributing with Bun Sports as he did last year, all year with us. David, thank you so much. We will talk to you again on Friday.
All right. Thank you, Bun.
All right. Well, everyone, have a nice day. We'll see you tomorrow.